Oh, shit, there you are. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. And it's Monday. And the last day of March.
Tis two. The first quarter of the year is over.
And tomorrow, being April Fool's Day, means you're going to be swamped by bad attempts to fool you. So we won't be doing any of that here, because guess what? We don't have a show tomorrow. So it's Tuesday. So we won't fuck you around. You can always trust in us. You know, we're dependable.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, how are you?
It's this time in radio where our contracts would be renewed.
Oh, God, I remember that. Yeah. Speaking of a bit of nostalgia, I saw Fresh and Roger Good and Mikasa and a whole lot of people I haven't seen for ages this weekend, which was lots of fun.
On a ship.
I accepted an invite back in November to go on this thing. It was Mikasa's friendship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very clever. And it was actually really fun. I mean, I don't like being on a ship usually, but this was cool. And there were a lot of people there that I hadn't seen in ages, which was lovely. Laughed a lot. Met lots of cool people. Met lots of very weird people.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I was glad to be back on dry land, but it was fun.
Was it the one that just stays along the coast?
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere.
That one you don't get seasick.
You just go, but
yeah, no. That one's okay.
No, but I didn't get, there's no seasick or any of that stuff. And there was no problem anywhere. So that was good. But I've also just realized, like, I'm becoming such a cranky old man, right? That I just love being at home.
Yep.
No, I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't need to be traveling. I've realized I'm not even a big traveler. I love it when I get to a destination.
Yeah, but everything but before
the travel,
that.
I'm not good at it. I did have a couple of, I love frictionless, easy, efficient travel, right? Mm. I love when you can walk into an airport, like I flew out of Lanseria to Cape Town, easiest thing in the world. Because you check in before, the day before, you know exactly which gate to use, you have only hand luggage. Just make your life easier for you. You know, you just line up all the things that could bring you friction and eliminate them. And then you can just, because you see people, they're lugging like two big suitcases and they're huffing and puffing and they're uncomfortable and they're sweaty and they're having a bad time and they're running late for this or they're worried about that. And it just makes it so much worse to travel that way.
No.
So wherever I can eliminate the friction, then I feel, even though it's only I would know that it was a victory of some kind, I always feel so good when I can just get rid of things that take up time and space that shouldn't be there.
It's kind of land at the Kruger Airport.
Oh, it's so easy. That airport.
Be transferred
best.
To somewhere that just has a pool on your veranda in the bush and everything's done. The bath water's drawn.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, there is something very satisfactory about just being effortless about things. Mm. Something about, that went exactly the way that I wanted it to. And not getting caught up in, I think I turned left. I should have turned right. Where's the right counter? Oh, hang on. I can't find my phone. Oh, where did I leave it? That kind of thing, you know?
No, the angst is too
terrible.
Much. I'm going
that.
To Bali in July and I'm traveling with my brother. And if I weren't traveling with my brother, I don't think I would go. There's no way. He's been a traveler since very young and is so organized. So
yeah.
Everything,
so he's
already
exactly
saying,
what he's doing.
Which of these restaurants do you want to go to for dinner in Singapore? You know, we've got this many hours exactly in the city. He's planned everything. So, yeah, that's easy traveling, I hope, for 36 hours or 26 hours or whatever it is.
Oh, no, that's a long time to be on public transport. The other thing is that I also really like being on my own. It's a funny thing. I've just become so used to having my own space, doing my own thing, that it's very difficult for me when there are a lot of people around to just be normal. And I'm not like Larry David levels of crazy or any of that stuff. I'm not a sociopath. I'm not autistic. Mm. There's none of that going on. I just really like being on my own. I like my bed. I like my shower. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that makes me happy.
Nothing and it's wrong funny. With that.
I derive such pleasure from it that every day is a happy day from little things like that. So that's good. I've realized a bunch of stuff. Anyway, we are into a brand new month from tomorrow, and it's that clusterfuck of a month where we're going to have public holidays at various stages. And I mean, I just looked at it the other day. It's just such a mess. We've got a public holiday first on the there's Easter on the 18th, right?
What day of the week? That'll be Friday, obviously.
Always Good Friday. So there's Easter, then 18th, 19th, 20th, because the 20th is a holiday, you get the Monday off. Mm-hmm. So that's the 21st. Then there's another one on the 27th of April, but because that's on a Sunday, we get the Monday again. And then there's the 1st of March, which is Workers' Day. So then you get that one off too. It's all just very confusing. So basically, I mean, the way I see it, very few people in South Africa will be working during the month of April.
Yeah. You're going to get a lot of out of offices.
Oh, yeah.
Limited phone signal.
Yeah. I love the way people, you know what's terrible is when people leave those things on for way too long, they're already back at the office, but they've still got the out of office email thing on. So you email them and you know, because you've spoken to them already. You're like, I'll phone you in an hour or whatever, and we could talk this over and get the details sorted out. Then you email them and it goes, this person will only be back in the office on the, you know, on the 31st of March. And you go, but it is the 31st of March and they've forgotten to switch it off. Anyway, what did you get up to this weekend?
I had car battery issues, which was interesting.
Because you're a salty old bitch. And your battery couldn't handle it, so the acid turned to alkali. What happened?
No, it's this car. So I am in the process of getting a new car, but the battery life isn't very long in these cars. I think this is my fifth or sixth battery. But it's just such a ball ache because it happened so suddenly. Then it's about either phoning someone, jumper cables, or push starting, or Ubering, asking for a lift.
Right.
You know, asking the neighbor if you can suddenly use his car like as a donor
student
car.
Student again, right?
It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. But it was quick and easy when I finally found a place and found one on special, all done for another 18 months or so, I guess.
All right. Good. Well, there we go. Battery problems.
Yeah, it was very, very boring.
Okay. Well, I mean, if that was your weekend, then nothing too terrible happened, but nothing too great did either.
It was that and work, but okay. I feel very prepared for Monday, which is good.
Okay. Looking through the comments here, there are a couple of people complaining about Friday's show.
Oh.
My pillow can stay in the comments from now on. Thank you, says Duds. I don't know what Mapello did to upset everybody, but he was here in the studio. What did he say, James and Flex? You guys were here. Oh, right, like unsolicited advice. Yeah. Everyone's got advice. Huh? Everyone's management and no one's fucking working.
You should swap jobs with him. What does he do?
What, Mapello? He's a teacher, isn't he?
Oh.
He's done a lot of different things. But I've never... here he is. Like and subscribe. He's in the comment section this morning. Okay. Oh, so he was terrible, right? Marco says, I'm waiting for the day Gareth falls in love and gets married. Hey, so am I. But I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah, no, look. I've also... Be realistic.
I've just... There's so much happiness in and contentment in just doing whatever I fucking want.
It takes a long time to get to that level where you've got a comfortable living situation.
Well, it's also
you've got friends who understand that you don't want to see them.
Yeah. I mean, it's also got to do with freedom. The freedom to be able to decide mostly that I'm not going to do anything. But sometimes that I do want to do things. And I just prioritize that freedom more than most people do, you know. Gareth, he complained about the show, says Lee. That's obviously Mapelo. Oof, Mapelo was a disaster, says Marco. I'm just going on with the theme from Friday, G. I'm joking. People weren't happy with him. The hosting wasn't that great either. Being alone is awesome. It's so peaceful, Gareth. Trust me, everyone loved it, says Mapelo. Okay, well, I mean, you're not exactly objective, but okay. All right. Very good. So we got Dr. Hanan today. Maybe we should talk about delusions of not grandeur, but adequacy.
Delusions of adequacy.
Yeah, that's a proper insult. If you just say to someone, you know, it seems that you have delusions of adequacy. That's about the meanest thing you could say to somebody. So we'll see what he has to tell us a little bit later, being a Monday. It's always a great thing to wake up and have your psychologist come and sort you out first thing on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is where your head's screwed up. Boom, boom, boom.
Get on track.
Yeah. I do see that we have a couple of things here that are quite interesting to talk about, and there was a lot that happened over the weekend. First of all, apparently we have a 1.1 trillion rand problem. Do you know what this is?
Well, it's obviously government.
No, this is us. And, you know, you sometimes complain about the government, but you get the government you deserve as a country. So sometimes
has it been lost?
It's not the government, and I would not like to start my Monday morning by talking about the government, but gambling in South Africa has surged. Now, I observed something that I thought was quite interesting over the weekend. On these ships, they have a casino.
Yeah.
Most depressing place on the whole ship. Mm. I mean, I find casinos depressing. I'm lucky. Mm. They can make all those noises.
Yeah.
And they can have the ching, 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 and I am not turned on by any of that shit. I'm not fooled by any of it. I think early on in my life, I remember my parents would go and gamble with their friends, and it was part of a fun excursion. You know, it was the 90s, so doing that stuff was still quite novel because we didn't have casinos in South Africa for a long time. There were casinos, but they were in places like Sun City or the Wild Coast or whatever. And gambling was not close to home.
We had the gambling in the nearby states when we were growing up.
Yeah, and
we
the old bunch of stuff.
We would go to Botswana and things like that. And my grandfather would take the whole family and he'd hand out envelopes of cash to the parents and children.
Nice.
And the whole family would then go gambling. Except for my mom, my dad, my brother and I. We would go off to the Kruger Park or go off to some nature reserve.
So you'd take your money.
We hated the gambling. I remember even putting towels under the hotel door to stop the noise and lights from the casinos coming in.
Wow.
You've
been traumatized.
It. Yeah.
No, we used to go and it was fun because, and it wasn't regular, but my parents had suddenly decided they wanted to go and gamble with these friends of theirs. And it was more like you decide you're going to play a couple of hundred rand, and then if you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. But I've never been drawn to casinos. I don't find it exciting. Obviously, there's a thrill to winning, but I'm just not a gambler.
Mm-mm.
I'm just so lucky. I don't have that gene, right? Just not there. So I don't get excited around a casino. If anything, I see a lot of desperation, and I see a lot of very, very sad people. Mm-hmm. And I am convinced that I can smell desperation.
Mm.
I'm convinced it has a smell.
Well, it might do.
I mean,
hormonal emissions and whatnot.
If you go into any of those casinos, right? And I haven't been into any except for this one on the ship over the weekend. But if you go to a casino, even a very smart, very fancy, first class, lovely, well, you know, appointed, well cleaned casino, there's a kind of a sharp smell. I'm convinced of this, that comes from desperation. It's like people who've sunk 100,000 rand into a machine.
Yeah.
And you can just tell they're desperate. Like, I don't know if they're pheromones that come off of them or.
They could be.
There's like a desperate. I'm telling you, I can smell it.
It's the material that the chips are made of or something.
I don't know. I can smell it, man. Anyway, we have a problem in this country because gambling in South Africa has absolutely surged. Problem gamblers seeking help rising nearly eightfold in 4 years, coinciding with a 40.2% increase in wagered money to 1.1 trillion rand. Critics, including MP Makashule Ghana, blame all kinds of things: aggressive advertising, unemployment, poverty for the crisis, urging tighter regulations, higher taxes, and stricter advertising controls. Now, you hear about that, but I think after the insurance companies, gambling gets the most advertising right now. Mm. And I'm talking about these online betting, you know, companies, these places where you can wager on sport or, you know, on the market doing something or something happening in the news or whatever. It's a big deal. And South Africans love clearly to gamble because those are the biggest advertisers, which must mean they're making money. Mm. Otherwise, you wouldn't spend more money on marketing. And they're hugely competitive. You know, you've got these all these different betting companies that pretty much own most of the billboards.
Yeah, they do.
You've noticed that,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem. To me, straight away, it's directly related to unemployment and poverty. And just this cycle of the only way I can get out of it is if I gamble.
I remember when we did, when we were filming a TV show. And we had to be there early on a Monday morning, and it was adjacent to this casino. So we parked under the casino, and then we went into the place we were filming in. And on a Monday morning, now, at like 6-7 o'clock, now, there were people, like mostly you could see there were pensioners or these were not people who were like, you know, rolling in money. These are not people who were, I feel like, you know what, fuck it.
In the literal sense, high rollers.
Yeah. These people were like miserable, desperate, hopeful people who went there and like pressed the button, hoping that something will come up. And I just think, oof.
That's awful.
Anyway, so this is the problem we've got now. Apparently, despite growing calls for reform, the National Gambling Board lacks a functional board, raising concerns over oversight in a rapidly expanding industry. So we have a national gambling board, but they're dysfunctional. Mm. So if even the national gambling board is dysfunctional, what chance do we have? And also, how much can we blame the authorities for this? Because this is an us problem. You know how often you'll see that there's a problem in society and you go, okay, well, that's because the government fucked something up. Mm. It's easy to tell. But this is an us thing, and I wonder how you begin to address this. Maybe we can bring this up with Dr. Hanan, because this is clearly a very big problem in South Africa.
I bet you that half of those people would not gamble if they weren't desperate. They're not gambling because they have a problem.
But
they're gambling because they need to go home with more money because they actually can't afford food.
But, you know, again, logic would dictate otherwise. These gambling companies, as we just pointed out, not poor. They're not struggling. You are. You're sitting at the machine and you're struggling. You know how this is going to go, right? You're leaving your whole. You're going to sink a proportion of your monthly salary into a machine that, on a completely random basis, gives out a bit of chance here and there, and mostly just takes in money. Yeah. It just doesn't. It defies logic on every level, right? Especially when you do that, if you're going to play a bit of blackjack or roulette, and people tell me there are systems here, I'm willing to believe it. I just don't know well enough, and I don't care enough to learn to know. If I were to be in a casino, it would have to be with a bunch of friends. We'd almost have to be playing for fun. I don't mind if it's real money, but if it doesn't work out, then someone's going to feel terrible if they lose. And I just don't want to. I want to avoid those things completely. So I don't find casinos exciting. Obviously, I'm in the minority because this is big. A 40.2 increase in wagered money, 1.1 trillion South African rand in gambling.
Yeah. I mean, I used to, when I was very young, my boyfriend at the time, his dad would take his weekly wage.
Yeah.
In a brown paper bag.
Yeah.
And we would drive straight to a casino on a Friday.
Oh, my God.
Or to the horse betting.
Wow.
And that was not out of a problem. That was out of desperation.
Really?
Mm.
And did he win?
He was playing with little money. You know, maybe he'd put in 100 and win 400 or something like that.
Yeah, but then also gamblers never talk about when they lose.
It's also true. But also it was a depressing state. We didn't really have a big conversation about how much it won or lost while we were waiting in the car.
Is that when you were just waiting in the car?
Yes.
Oh, that's depressing.
Because we were 13 years old, 14.
And even the horse races, that used to be a big thing, right?
Yeah, but it's in those little betting halls.
Yeah, but I remember my own grandfather, he would sometimes have the horse racing on TV.
Mm.
You remember that? And then he'd have a little book.
There's those places that you can go to and do that.
That's just unbelievable to me. Let's go to the comments here. A couple of interesting things here. The problem is a certain site, it doesn't do anything to educate its players. Another huge issue, the scammers preying on the poor and uneducated with ways to win LN crash games. I don't know what those are, but okay, I'll take your word for it. Sports betting is out of control. You can bet on every single aspect of the game, but I think people are bored with some of the sport. That's why they're doing this. Once I bet my whole salary on a horse, says Monica. Jeez. I had a good tip who to bet on, and the horse won. I didn't play again. I was just desperate at that time.
Wow.
Logic tells you cannot win. Beat the odds with gambling, but no more common sense is left in the world, says Peter. That's about right. You don't need casinos. The slot machines and bars keep some of these bars open for business.
Yes, so absolutely.
You go to bars and they have slot machines
100%.
There?
I have a friend who owns one or two of these establishments. And that's
like a strip club?
No, just a little
house.
tiny bar.
Slot machine?
A few chairs where you can watch the sport on TV or the horse racing and you can put in your bets.
God, how depressing.
Slot machines. And yeah, that sometimes that's what keeps the business going because those people aren't buying alcohol.
Jesus.
That's for sure.
My mother-in-law can't play lotto on her phone. She needs to hold that piece of paper in her hand or it's not real. Well, even the lottery, you know, there are some people who I think of as smart.
Yeah. And also wealthy people will play the lotto.
And I mean, I've done it once or twice.
Yeah.
Especially if there's a really big jackpot, because you think, well, now it's worth it, even though it's to. I've never won more than like 30 Rand.
Yeah.
In any massive. And I'm not spending a lot of money either. As I said to you, gambling, luckily, is not one of my vices. But it's just wild to me that people will stake it all on that random chance of a ball dropping into the right thing. Mm. And, you know, showing the number that you want. Crazy. I get it. I mean, there's nothing better, I'm sure, for a gambler than that thrill of winning.
Mm.
But I remember hearing a story told by a gambling addict who was in recovery. And this guy, if you bet on me sneezing in the first hour, you would have won money, you see. And this guy was saying that the devastation of loss is way, way, way worse
than the euphoria of winning.
Mm. And that's where I thought, well, then what do you need? That's all the proof I'd ever need.
Mm.
I'm not a feelings person. I'm more of a thinking person. But the feel of loss is not good. If I can avoid that by not getting involved in that game at all, then I probably will.
Yeah.
Especially when you think about how hard you have to work to earn every single rand that you have now, right?
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean,
that's the thing. I mean,
it's tough.
There's no one walking around these communities saying, I've got some good financial advice for you. Instead of taking that 200 rand that you gamble with every month, let's do this. No one's actually doing that.
Well, if it were 200 rand a month.
Yeah, it's obviously a lot more.
But I can't even imagine anything worse than like some old person who smokes and drinks. Okay, because you have to do both of those at the same time. Mm. That's why in the casinos they give you free drinks while you're gambling.
Do they?
Some casinos. Mm. I think the smarter ones.
Might
anyway.
Like gambling after all.
Yeah, you might get into it. But you sit there and as long as you're still gambling, you can get free drinks. I think that's how it used to work anyway. And they're always dark because there's no natural light.
Yeah.
So you mustn't know what time it is.
Yes. Always a very bunt, we would say, bold carpet.
Always, like a bright fucking purple or aquamarine or
patterned.
Something. Yeah, yeah. Lots of patterns, lots of lights all over, lots of sounds all over, keeping you stimulated the whole time. It's wild to me that people just fall for this time after time after time. And that they get a thrill when they walk into the casino. You can see they almost get a spring in their step, you know? It's just clearly, it's a thing that's hitting all the right markers for them. Mm. I think it goes with smoking, drinking, pressing the filthy button on this machine and it's nothing about that I want.
No.
If you create a hopeless environment, the people become hopeless, and betting is like praying for a miracle, says Dirk. I think that's probably true. Maybe for some people, it's the miracle, it's the promise of that miracle that keeps them coming.
Mm.
Because if I won 100,000 rand, it would sort out all my financial problems.
Is it all the religions that are against gambling?
No. I don't think that they are.
I wonder if this could be correlated with people becoming less
religious.
Maybe.
I think that gambling is, it maybe the online betting stuff is younger, but I always see gambling as a bit of an older thing, especially casino gambling. Flex, James, do you guys gamble? No. Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't think it's generational necessarily. If people do, it's an online thing for younger ones, and casinos and old school gambling for the others. And I don't even know if horse racing is still a thing, but it must be. They're still doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know about religion. I do think that some of them frown on, it's a vice to be a gambling person, but I don't know that they are necessarily that strict about it. They're more strict about alcohol, some of them. They're more strict about adultery.
Because the book I read, Confessions of a Gambler, was written by a Muslim woman from the Western Cape.
Yeah.
And I know that in the Muslim religion, it's you're not supposed to gamble.
Yeah.
And then for her, I think a lot of the excitement came from the fact that she wasn't meant to be doing it.
Well, maybe that's also it. You know, you must never underestimate the value of taboo for some people. They want to do something just because it's frowned upon. They almost secretly want to get caught. I don't know. Again, that's a thrill. Just not interested in chasing. Vyasin says you don't need casinos. We've just spoken about that. These bars. I'm fascinated that there are these little bars popping up that have slot machines in. Okay. Is it easy to get a gambling license for those places?
I mean, I could ask my friend for all the answers.
So I had some friends around in probably January, and I had two decks of cards and chips, but we didn't pay actual money to play. So we all got 20 chips and you play blackjack, which is fun. You get to 21. It's kind of, there's a little bit of skill involved. There's mostly luck, because what are you going to do? You don't know what the card is. And we had a lot of fun, but we played for about an hour and a half, and then everybody was kind of maybe if it was real money, we'd be more invested in it.
I think you would.
But it was a fun thing to do with your friends.
Yeah.
But none of us were very upset when we were out.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of stupid cheating going on. It's like, shame you don't have any chips here. Take those from the bank. You know, that kind of thing. And then there was drinking involved too. So it became less serious with every step of the way.
Yeah.
I don't know. 1.1 trillion rand. South Africa, we do have a problem. I don't think we're alone. I think there are lots of countries in the world that have a similar problem. But this is worth a little introspection. And then this is not going to make anyone go to sleep well tonight. Authorities say that a babysitter checked under the bed for monsters and found someone. Yes. Da 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 da. Can you imagine?
Was it a human man?
So a Kansas child's fear of a monster under the bed turned to be real when a babysitter discovered a man hiding under the bed, leading to a struggle and an eventual arrest. The suspect, a former resident under a protection order, fled but was caught after a short chase. He now faces multiple charges, including aggravated kidnapping and burglary.
A former resident of what? The establishment, the place where this, so he used to live in this house.
Clearly.
And he was back.
He was, it's like those people.
And he was trying to kidnap.
Do you remember when they told us that story on one of the shows last year about the people living in the roof?
I did, yes. About that man who came out at night.
Oh my God.
To eat your stuff out the fridge.
Imagine you hear, you think, oh, there's a monster under the bed. You're a child. And then there turns out to be a man under the bed.
I just want to know what types of beds people have these days. Do you know of any beds in your house that are human?
No one could fit under my
bed. Not even a robotic vacuum cleaner can fit under my bed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no
what beds
kind of
room. Are people using? They've got these big bed frames, I think.
Maybe there are those ones that are on
the spindles.
Yeah, they're on legs, like a chair is.
Yeah.
I don't know. But this is a good reason to get rid of that bed that has legs. Imagine there's this funny little man living under your bed. And you hear something in the night, you hear like a I'm too scared to. I started listening to this podcast about paralysis, sleep paralysis. You know, when you get,
yes,
where you think there's something sitting on your chest and yes, you can't move.
Yes.
Oh my God. Now imagine you're paralyzed with fear and you hear this.
No.
Under the bed. Holy mother of God. Okay.
That's who you'd be calling.
I'd be calling anyone in for help. I'll call all of the different deities of all the different religions. In that moment, I'll become a devotee. Like, save me. Whichever one of you saves me first, you
I'll
get me
you
for
forever.
Life.
Yeah.
Life and after. this is interesting, too. In Australia, most betting happens at tab betting locations, which are everywhere in neighborhoods. It's not just the large casinos. B says, we've won 250,000 rand on the lotto. See, so it happens. That would be very nice. Imagine. That would be very nice.
That would be very nice.
250, quarter of a million rand. That would solve a lot of our problems. By our, I mean individually. You know, we all have things we have to pay for.
Yeah.
Imagine if you suddenly had quarter of a million rand in your account that you just won from the lotto. Nice. That I get that. I understand the thrill of seeking a solution to your problems that is based purely on luck, because you don't have to do any work for it, really. My grandfather played lotto until he died. Mental health people will keep on trying, says Bitcoin Boots. Many bars can cover their rent with a slots income.
Yeah.
Also, then technically the establishment becomes a casino, so smoking is allowed throughout. Oh. So if you have a casino license, you can have smoking on the premises. That's interesting too. I only got back 20 rand from Lotto. Mapelo, thank you. Well, you also only got 20 listeners on Friday by the sound of things. So the small bars with slot machines always know when the machines are going to pay out big. One of my customers had a manager who got 30K out of a slot machine because she knew it was about to pay. I don't know if I'm spoilt. I would not sit at one of those machines for an hour or three just to win 30,000 rand. And 30,000 rand is a lot of money, right? It's just, I cannot justify sitting there for that long. A casino reminds me what hell must look like. Hate it. And smell. I'm telling you, there's a smell. If you create a hip, hang on a second. We've moved on. Don't let gambling become your god, says Matthew Dixon. If not, there is nothing wrong with it. So in other words, as long as you have fun with it, cool. Gareth, go to Hollywood and read the comments on Aviator. People are literally throwing away SASA grants, full salaries. Ooh, guys. By putting slots into the bar, this thing keeps updating and then I lose this. Janine says, I will take a human under my bed over a Parktown prawn. you sure?
Oh, no.
I had a bat in my house last week.
One of the little ones?
Little bat.
Yeah.
But you know when you see, you walk into a room and you're like, whoa, hang on, that's not meant to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's thing flying around. Now, luckily, the dog was asleep in another room because otherwise she would have gone crazy. But
would,
I managed.
Would she have tried to get it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I tried to guide this thing. I managed to guide it into the spare bedroom, open the windows, but it flew round and round. And I felt so sorry for this thing because I thought it's going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
And eventually, I think it got out through the window. But I closed the door and left the window there. And I wasn't scared of it. I wasn't, because it's little. I mean, the body
like
is probably the size of your thumb.
Yeah, you see them come out at dusk.
They're tiny little things, and I can often see them flying around outside. But I don't know how this thing got into the house. It must have got in through one of the, I mean, there was a window open that much. Could it have crawled in there?
Could have. Oh, as long as I'm not, I'm thinking of Australia.
No, not those big.
Those hanging bats that hang from the trees that are like the length, half the length of my body.
No, that would be fucking terrifying. That would be like Dracula's moved in. Anyway, no, I had a bat in the house and I wasn't worried about that. So Parktown prawns, nothing. Don't you dabble in sports betting, G? No, I did when we had a sponsor on the show for the sport. And I tried it and I did okay. And then I suddenly didn't do okay. And then I suddenly did okay again. I just don't like, I like regular stuff. I like things. I don't like the random chance thing with money. I know people who do very well there.
Yeah.
They enjoy it. Gives them a thrill. Maybe they have money to burn. I don't know. But I'm sure it feels awesome to win. I just don't, it's not a thrill I'm looking for. It takes all of us, you know, to make the world work. If you want to win the lotto, you can play every sequence of numbers. It'll cost 11 million rand. I don't think that makes sense. There would be so many combinations. I think you'd have to spend more than 11 million rand. And it wouldn't, I mean, someone would have gamed the system, right? With AI especially. And I'll tell you about AI and my recent breakthrough there too. Remember when Oscar Pistorius also had a bat in his house, it didn't end as well. Not that kind of bat, Carl. A friend, an actuary, told me that the lotto is gambling for those who are mathematically challenged. Yeah, there we go. I'd love to compete in a poker tournament someday. So those people who do that, I mean, poker is quite interesting because there is a little bit more skill involved.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of, depending on how much you put in, depending on when you choose to take a card or not, what is happening for the dealer. I think there's a little bit of skill involved, but there's still a huge amount of luck. But poker seems to me almost to be more of a mental game.
Yeah.
It's more like sussing out the other players. That could be fun.
Another friend story, but yes, I have a friend who was quite good at it.
Uh-huh.
And he got to the point where he was traveling and he was, you know, moving up in numbers in the tournaments. Obviously you've got to put money in, but generally they come out with quite a bit of money at that level. But again, not doing it for the money. He had his job. He was just doing it for fun.
Doesn't sound like it went well.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't know if he's still doing it.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Well, who knows? I mean, you can also gamble on the stock market. What's the difference, really?
Yeah. What about
that's gambling? It's a kind of gambling.
Cryptocurrency.
Yeah, sure.
Investments.
All of it's gambling. So I suppose we all have some propensity to doing that. I'm more worried about something sleeping under the bed that I don't know about than I am about losing the lotto. Not winning the lotto. There's no such thing as losing the lotto. Okay. So apparently, this is interesting, and you can tell us a bit about it. Newsweek have published a great piece on our Antarctica base, which didn't you tell us about the other day?
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
South Africa was in the news for that.
Yeah. And we had that crazy person running around our base, right? Maybe sleeping under people's beds.
Well, I don't know if I'd call them crazy.
Well, I think that isolation gets to you.
It does. And for in sure. fact, what Newsweek did was they got hold of one of our South African scientists or people who work on the base.
Yep.
Who's been there before, and they've done an amazing piece with him.
Is that him with the red sort of halo?
That's him there, yes. So this is where it's one of the most isolated places on Earth for 10 months at a time.
Oh, sure.
Some of the harshest weather. Apparently, it can be terrifying at the base.
Look how shit it looks there. I mean, I'm not being horrible, but
it's not great.
You know, those are just like containers. There's the most boring looking place in the world. So and you've only got snow and ice and cold all around you. It must be awful.
That's about it.
Yeah.
So this is, again, to remind you if you hadn't heard, but it's like a nine-member team.
Okay.
That gets sent down. And in this last batch that got sent, this is the guy who they interviewed. His name is Lodrick Hlungwane.
Uh-huh.
He spent 3 consecutive years living at the base. So he's got a lot of experience. That's him in the middle there. That was his crew. And you can see there's one woman in the group. And he says,
looks like two in that.
Picture. Let's be, or maybe two. He said, look, let's be honest. Hormones do become an issue. Loneliness becomes an issue.
Yeah. Well, it's like an episode of Survivor.
Straight away, you've got however many men in a room compared to women. This natural kind of instinct to fight for the woman comes across because, of course, this time it was allegations of sexual harassment that had surfaced. So he says, yeah, it is disturbing, but it's not surprising because these sorts of things happen. He says it's a lot mentally. He says, yes, they do psychometric testing, but when you're in that situation, it's actually not surprising that someone could actually completely lose it. Yes, that's okay.
Well, look how fucking frosty his tips are.
Yeah. he said, you know, he sees it in people who come back from the base.
Yeah.
Some of them actually can't reintegrate themselves into society.
Because they're so fucking cold. I'm telling you, that's a big part of it. There's no amount of money you could pay me. It's like all these people who want to go to Mars. Cool. You go. Tell me how it is. I'm staying right fucking here.
But like he says, there's not much to it. You know, you get this, do you want a job in Antarctica? Yeah, I'll give that a try.
Okay, but what you do kind you of just do? Go over. Oh my God, there he is in like shorts.
And he's from Limpopo. So he says,
wow,
for where it drops below 55 degrees Fahrenheit, it's a big shock. He says it takes about 2 months for your body to adjust.
Sure. What do they do all day? Experiments? Like, what is this base involved in? Like, do you wake up early in the morning?
I actually don't know. And considering this is quite an in-depth article.
I would love to know what they actually get up to on a daily basis. What do we send them there for? Because I don't know
what stuff there is to do.
How much fucking work do you do on penguins?
I don't know if it's monitoring temperatures or I don't know.
But surely we can have machines do so much of that now. And especially in an age of AI, I was playing with an AI image generator over the course of the weekend. And it's just incredible. They've just updated the OpenAI ChatGPT image generator.
Yeah.
So it does the most incredible things. Mm. And you can really learn to perfect your either vocal or text prompts to get precisely the thing you're looking for. So if you want to create a cake with Leanne written on it, and it must look like it's got nuts and 12 candles, and you can be so specific that it will generate out of nothing exactly the image you're looking for.
Yeah,
with
amazing
perfect precision. And that to me is just phenomenal. And I think it will do a better job than a human artist eventually, which both terrifies and excites me at the same time, because if it can do a better job than a human artist, think about it. If you want to have a painting commissioned, or if there is a certain kind of art that we know will appeal to thousands more people than this, and you can produce endless numbers of that canvas just done to perfect precision so that everyone can effectively have a Mona Lisa in their house, it's doable now. Of course, the scary thing is for those of us who still value human creativity, you wonder if the AI will ever be able to truly be genius, as in come up with something that humanity doesn't know. Because at this point, you still have to tell it what to do.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so it's not going to come up with something on its own. And sure, some of that stuff will be amazing. Some of it will be wow, it'll be spectacularly surprising. But you kind of wonder, and I think humans have ceded so much ground to the machines anyway.
Yeah, they have.
Because I think, for the last, I don't know, 70, 80 years,
yeah,
there isn't a lot of human modern art that I would consider very good at all. And
but still, I would rather have a piece of that art in my home than the Mona Lisa that's been duplicated thousands of times and everyone has one.
Yeah,
so it kind of it gives human beings more value to me.
Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Don't know. Let's go to Dr. Hanan. Maybe he can answer all these questions for us. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Fantastic. We know it's Monday and we know that you are here. I want to just quickly go to something that we spoke about earlier, that there's this gambling problem in South Africa. And I wonder about the idea of addiction, which we've discussed once or twice on this segment of the show before. But if you could just perhaps reflect on that briefly for us, because I do think it's a worry that 1.1 trillion rand in South Africa is being wagered on an annual basis. That's an enormous amount of money, and it's money people don't have. And obviously, the house always wins. So what is it in us that makes us illogically, and you would say something like self-harming, because that's what it does. You know, people will lose a proportion of their salary. They'll bet money that they can't afford, that they don't have, on the hope, on the glimmer, on the prayer of being able to win something. And obviously in South Africa, gambling is a very popular thing for people to do. So we were talking about desperation. Do you have any comments on that stuff?
Yeah, well, obviously, addiction is a problem, and gambling is an issue, especially when you're spending money that you don't have. And people think that they can beat the house in their own game. And you got to remember, the gambling industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry for the casinos. In other words, they have invested billions and billions and billions of dollars in this facade of creating this game for you that makes you think that you can beat the house and have all your dreams come true. And in reality, everything is set up in a way that makes sure that you leave empty-handed with the illusion that you can win the next time. So if you think you can beat the house at their own game, well, you're mistaken. There's science behind you walking into from the moment that you walk into the casino to the moment that you leave. It's all designed to entice you. And the reason why people gamble is, and I'm talking about the unhealthy gambling, is because they're looking for a quick fix to make themselves feel better. So okay, they're lacking something in their lives, and they're looking for a way to fulfill what's lacking through the casino, which is impossible because you might win. And, you know, there's a saying, the worst thing that can happen to you in a casino is if you win, because once you win, you think you've mastered it, you beat the casino at their own game, and you can come back and get some more of that dopamine hit. And in reality, eventually you'll always lose. Nobody ever beats the casino in the long run. So yeah, make sure that you're fulfilling your life and you're fixing whatever it is that's in your life, so you don't have to go to the casino to fulfill a broken marriage, to fulfill financial instability, to fulfill a lack of purpose in your life, but don't think that you can beat it. It's impossible.
So I'm curious, do you think people are addicted to the result or to the process? Because Leanne and I were talking about this in some depth in the first hour, first half hour of the show this morning. I would be thrilled to win, you know, lots of money, but I'm not interested in the process of gambling. And maybe other people are just built differently, where the process with the loud noises and the ringing and the ching, 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 and the, you know, the explosions and God knows what else it is that gets people excited. But it's the actual idea of, like, you pull the lever, you press the button, and there's this noise, and there are these things that are happening, and your eyes are stimulated, and it feels exciting, like you should be excited for some people. And they're obviously, they're clearly turned on by the process, and then if they win, that makes it even better, obviously.
Yeah, so the truth is we all get excited. We think we get excited because of the reward, but in reality, we get excited because of the potential of the reward. We think dopamine is all about the reward, not true. Dopamine is all about the potential of a reward. So what happens when we've done these experiments with rats? We give them a pallet of food or some hit of a dopamine when they press a button. But then what we do is we light, we turn on light a light
on fire.
5 minutes before they get the dopamine hit. And the dopamine starts when the light turns on as opposed to when they get the reward.
Right.
So dopamine is the chase of the potential reward as opposed to the reward itself. So that cha-ching that you hear and all the potentials, oh my God, my dreams can come true, that is a much greater hit of dopamine than the actual reward.
I read that experiment completely wrong. I imagined tiny little rats. And you said, we give rats straight away in my mind, a little rat was on a stool with his little hand on the lever on a gambling machine straight away. And then when you said, and then we light and you paused, I thought you lit the rats like with a lighter.
Oh my God. You're a complete psychopath.
It just went, you know, it went all over the place.
You're a total nutcase. Oh my God. You know, if it wasn't for you once a week on this show, Dr. Hernan, she would have spun out of control completely. She'd be running a cult. She'd have a cult of her own. It would be, she'd be wearing a high priestess's outfit, and making them do outrageous, stupid things.
Calling myself bizarre. The mothership.
Yeah.
So maybe we're doing a disservice. Maybe that's her real calling.
Yeah.
Just do you.
Yeah. And Leanne, you could end up saving lots of people.
Who does? And rats from being burned because now I know what happens.
You must.
All right. So, Dr. Hernan, the thing that we wanted to talk to you about originally, which I do want to get to, we've got some time, luckily, is the advice trap. Why we love getting advice, but we hate taking it. Whew. This is such a monstrous big deal. And I can't tell you how I hate giving advice. I can't stand it. People say, well, what do you think I should do here? And I don't want to get involved in those conversations. Like, why would you ask me?
Yeah, that's very true.
Right?
Right.
Okay, so let's get to the people about giving advice but hate taking it. Let's get to that.
So the human brain is really designed for survival, and the best way to survive is to conserve metabolic energy. And the best way to conserve metabolic energy is don't learn anything new, don't risk anything. So, of course, I'd rather tell you to bungee jump than risk your life. And I'd rather tell you to go and start a new business. You can be the entrepreneur that you've always dreamt of, as opposed to me gambling my own money or risking my own money.
Mm-hmm.
You should get out there. You know, ships are not meant to stay in the harbor. But meanwhile, you know, it's really risky out there.
Yeah.
So it's much easier for me to risk with your money, with your time, with your resources, as opposed to me risking my own, because that's really expensive and that's really risky. So, of course, it's much easier to give advice. You should go to the gym and you should eat better and you should get into beautiful relationships and you should venture out and you should take risks because X, Y, and Z. So, of course, I'd risk with your time, or I'd gamble with your time than opposed to mine, because my life matters a lot more than yours does. So, to me. So that's why it's a lot easier giving advice than taking it, because there's a lot more risk.
That makes perfect sense. So in some way, it's also, it's related to gambling, right? I mean, it's the same thing. I'm gambling on the house's money.
Yeah. So, of course, I don't want to, I mean, with, unfortunately, with gambling, it's the other way around, where the house is actually telling you to risk because you're going to win all these wonderful riches and you're going to have all your dreams come true if you just bet one more time. One more chip, one more pull of the lever, you're going to have that crazy amazing home or that crazy amount of money or the crazy dream that you've always dreamt of, and you can have it without working hard. Just press that lever. And like when it comes to giving people advice, it's always about, well, you gamble. Nobody gambles their own stuff for somebody else. People want to give advice that makes somebody else gamble their own resources for them. So there's no cost to us, but there's a great cost to somebody else. And listen, in reality, some advice is really good and you should really watch who you take advice from. And some advice is really not so good. And how many times do I have to say on the show, you know, I would never rely on my mechanic to tell me what's wrong with my heart, and I will never lean on my cardiologist to tell me what's wrong with my car. So you've got to lean for your mechanic for your car and your cardiologist for your heart. Make sure that you lean on the right people for the
advice. But you just made me think now, you are actually asked for your advice by people and you have to give advice. And do people take advice easily? Because that's the other component to this, right? We've just gone into a discussion about how we like to bet with the house's money effectively. But in this case, when someone asks for advice, I always find 90% of the time they're actually just making conversation. They don't really want advice.
If they pay you for your advice. Then it's
in your case, yeah, they have to pay for it. So you would hope that they would be able to implement that in their life. You don't have a dog in the fight. If you're actually a paid psychologist and you're giving people advice, you'd think they would take it. What's the actual rate of success in terms of uploading new advice?
It's such a lacquer question, and I want to tell you. So you're quite right. With outside of the practice, people ask for your advice. What should I do? But ultimately, people stay with what they know, because you know we're addicted to, and we create what we know as opposed to create what we want, because it's a lot safer staying with what we know as opposed to taking risks. In practice, you will not believe it. It's probably the same rate. The fact that people are paying doesn't make them much more susceptible to taking advice. It just justifies why they don't have to, because they've already paid for it. So it's like booking a session with a personal trainer, paying them in advance, and when you don't arrive, you don't feel guilty because you've paid them anyway. So with psychologists, exactly the same. People come here and they want the best for their lives and they want to improve and they want to move and they want to step out of their comfort zone. But in reality, everybody's just as scared, whether they pay for it or not, to take the next move or to step out of their comfort zones to take the advice. So, change, which is incredibly difficult whether you pay for it or not.
Yeah, we also, like, experience is still the best teacher, right? So you give people all the advice. You could say to them, this is where I went wrong. This is what you shouldn't do. This is what you should do. But most people will only actually learn when they experience it themselves. Yeah. That's the reality.
You know, learning anything new is not an intellectual exercise. It's an experiential one. So yeah, people. So let's divide advice into kind of intellectual and experiential. So everybody will take the intellectual advice.
Yeah.
You know, you should go to the gym and you should eat this and you should, you know, marry that and you should, you know, break up with that. Intellectually, it all makes sense. But how many people actually step out of their comfort zone and experience it? Very, very few. The ones that do make changes, but it's very difficult. So yes, you only learn through experience, as opposed to logic. Logic actually doesn't touch sides. The experience that changes you.
Well, that's probably a good thing. HS just brought up here. There was an ANC politician who said on the news once, I forget who it was, you can take the donkey to the river, but you can't make the river drink the donkey.
Yeah.
And then this is quite cool. Bitcoin Butt says, how do I actually get hold of Dr. Hanan? Well, I mean, the man is extremely busy. He doesn't have time for the likes of us. He basically comes on the show and gives us free advice, but I think you can try. What is the best way to get hold of you, Dr. Hanan?
So email me at Hanan, H-A-N-A-N, at atclinic.co.za, or just follow me on social media, send me a message. Probably that's the easiest.
All right.
On Instagram or on Facebook or
social media. There we go. Okay. Keep giving people advice. I hope they take it, because we try to take your advice very seriously. There's Dr. Hanan. It's Monday morning, and thank you, Doc. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, guys. See you then.
Awesome. All right. I hope you're having a good start to your week. It's going to be a brand new month tomorrow, April, and you can feel it in the weather.
In your bones.
In the bones. It's suddenly getting chilly.
Mm, huh? It's coming.
Yeah. So get ready for that.